The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came to Jesus and said to him, "Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask of you." He replied, "What do you wish for me to do for you?" They answered him, "Grant that in your glory we may sit one on your right and the other on your left." Jesus said to them, "You do not know what you are asking. Can you drink the cup that I drink or be baptized with the baptism with which I have been baptized?" They said to him, "We can." Jesus said to them, "The cup that I drink, you will drink, and with the baptism with which I am baptized, you will be baptized. But to sit on my right or at my left is not mine to give, but is for those for whom it has been prepared." When the 10 heard this, they became indignant at James and John. Jesus summoned them and said to them, "You know that those who are recognized as rulers over the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones make their authority over them felt. But it shall not be so among you. Rather, whoever wishes to be great among you will be your servant. Whoever wishes to be first among you will be the slave of all. For the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as ransom for many." The Gospel of the Lord.
Disciple me. Disciple me. I want to begin this homily with those two words that we can cling to, but I want to enter in this homily with a third word. Disciple me. We all have deep down in our hearts a desire to be discipled. Age of our life. Let me change the word from disciple me into terms that would be a little more familiar in our day. Coach me. Teach me. Lead me. Mentor me. Guide me. Let's all in our hearts think, independent of our age, you can even be a little one that's playing Little League baseball right now or soccer season or football or whatever, but think in our hearts of one person who we've turned to in that way. Maybe we haven't voiced it, but we've sought it out. Disciple me. Now the question for you and for me this Sunday is to take it a little deeper, a step further, and just ask, as we all look at the landscape of our life, the today of our life, and the question is, who is discipling me? Who is discipling you? I can't answer that question for you. I can answer it for myself. But a question we have to ask every day when we turn and we say, "Disciple me," who are we asking to disciple us? Is social media discipling me? Is the nightly news discipling me? Are a group of friends of mine discipling me? Maybe colleagues at work discipling me. There's nothing wrong with any of them discipling us if they lead us in the ways of the true discipleship that we long for and seek that has brought us here. And we can see that in the gospel of today. We can see James and John, and they sought out this Jesus. James and John, it said in the beginning, not just to kind of fill some words in the living word of God, but it had meaning to those first apostles. They were the sons of Zebedee. And if we recall, when they came to follow Jesus, on the shoreline of their life, They were in a big, probably the biggest commercial fishing business of Galilee. They were sons of Zebedee who had multiple boats and pretty much had the market cornered on the Sea of Galilee. Matter of fact, they could have very much lived a very comfortable life as fishermen. Now we know Peter, as we look at Peter, Peter was like that independent business person that had just their one shop. He had his one boat, and his brother Andrew was with him. But they all knew each other because they worked together, and they were in there working their nets. But James and John, they were pretty much the top of the racket in the fishing industry on the Sea of Galilee. Yet even though they had all that, they desired to be discipled. And we know that because John was actually a friend of Andrew, Peter's brother, fisherman, obviously, right? And they went and sought out John the Baptist. They wanted to be discipled by him. Teach us, coach us in the ways of the Lord. Hey, you're a little weird, John the Baptist. You're wearing, you know, camel's hair and eating locusts and honey and all this stuff, but we eat fish. You know, you want to come with us? No, they sought him out on the River Jordan. And then it was John who said, "Behold the Lamb of God." In the beginning of John's gospel, and they sought him out, and they started following Jesus. And Jesus turns and says, "What are you looking for? What are you searching for?" He knew their heart. Man, you got everything. You got the corner market on the Sea of Galilee, and you're down here at the River Jordan. Follow me to ask me what? And they asked him, "Master, where do you stay?" They wanted to be disciples, and Jesus said, "Come, and you will see." Jesus didn't tell them the end of the story, didn't tell me, just said, "Come, and you'll see. You'll see, and I'll disciple you in the ways, in my ways." Now, what we see is James and John seeking out to be discipled. They didn't quite get it right off the bat. They were looking to be people of influence because they were on the Sea of Galilee, people of influence. So they looked around to their peers and said, "Peter's only got one boat. We got a few more. We should be at the top. So, hey, Lord, we got a question for you. We're going to kind of pull you aside here. And our question is this: when we enter in your kingdom, can we sit at your left and your right?" Boy, the other ones got all fired up, right? Jesus knew in his heart that before he came as a little baby, that's the way the human heart was. While he walked the earth, the human heart was posturing for all these positions. And even now in the today of our life, we can have that. Remember Jesus saying, "Who's greatest, the one who sits at table, the one who serves at table?" Jesus got up and washed the feet. He was trying to teach his disciples all the way to the end. So they ask, I mean, it's pretty bold. Think if it's your coach, you want to play baseball, or your boss. You go up and say, "Hey, excuse me, teacher, we got something we want to ask you. We want you to do for us whatever we ask you to do. Whatever we ask you." I mean, that was bold. And Jesus didn't come back, but he says, "Okay, all right, I tell you what. To sit in my left and right, that's not mine to give you, okay? I can't do that." Now, Jesus didn't say the end of the story, but we know the end of the story because we're going to pray the creed in a moment. We're going to pray the creed, and we have the answer who sits to the left. Anybody want to tell me who sits to the left of Jesus? Go ahead, raise your hand. Somebody. Who sits? We got a bold hand in the back. Who sits to the left of Jesus? You are super close. You get points for courage. Mary sits to the right of Jesus, and the Father sits to the left of Jesus. We're going to pay attention in the creed. We profess it every week. God the Father, Jesus seated at the right hand of the Father. If he's at the right hand of the Father's to the left. And to the left, right of him, and your right, is Mary, the Queen Mother, because she was the most powerful in the time of King David and all that. She was the intercessor. If you wanted something from Jesus, you went to the king. If you wanted something from the king, you went to the queen. We are seeking to be discipled. What draws us here is to be discipled. I had the grace back in 2014, 2013 to be a chaplain at a Catholic high school in Atlanta, Georgia, in that area. And I used to love the break between lunch and when they went back to class, or at the end of the day when they're kind of going off to their activities, their sports, volleyball, softball, football, whatever, because it was kind of like, yippee, and they're kind of free, and they want to talk, right? So I always try to position myself for opportunity. And one day I see this young man, he was a junior, he comes out, and boy, he looked pretty tired, right? He looked pretty tired, almost like downcast tired, right? So trying to imitate Jesus, which is one of my favorite passages on the road to Emmaus, right, where he accompanies those disciples, and he walks with them. He doesn't scold them, he just walks with them and says, why are you so downcast, right? He doesn't tell them everything, he just asks questions. So I get up along this young man, and I said, hey man, you look pretty tired. How was the school day? He goes, yeah, he was all right. I'm ready for football. I said, but why are you so tired? And he goes, oh man, Father, it was an awesome weekend. I had a great weekend. I just didn't get a lot of sleep. So then I said, okay, what was your weekend like? What'd you do? He goes, oh, my buddies came over. Two of my buddies came over. We stayed up all night long Saturday night. Father, it was awesome. We drank a whole 12-pack of Coca-Cola to stay awake. And we got the high score on our video. And we stayed. Instead of just saying, what are you doing staying up all night? You shouldn't be. I said, how'd you get the high score? He's like, well, my buddies were there, and we were working together as a team and helping each other and coaching each other and doing, and we got the high score. We figured out, I said, it was awesome. And we stayed up all night Saturday night. It was awesome. So then I looked at him with a little smile, and I said, how was Mass the next day? And his face kind of dropped. He goes, ooh. But because there was interest in his world, which was so beautiful, and Jesus must have, as he worked with his disciples then, and he works with us now, he wants us to explain and freely accept to be a disciple of his. He doesn't want to force it on us. And so it's so beautiful to say to this young man, when he said, he had enough courage to be honest. And I love it when the teenagers are young adults are to be, they're able to come full throttle at me and just be straight honest about what's going on in their heart. That's a good sign. And he said, Father, I don't like Mass. I'm tired of going to Mass. It's so boring. So instead of scolding him and saying, you need to go, it's a commandment, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da, which we can start to lose in our following of Jesus Christ, we can get into just do it because my parents did it, my grandparents did it and did it. We just do it, and we don't ask the question why. So the Holy Spirit moved me to kind of look at him and said, yeah, why go? I mean, why go? Does it really matter? And he's like, you're a priest. So it really caught him off guard, and he's like, so he had to answer the question, why go? And he goes, well, I mean, I really should go because it's a commandment, and if I don't go, I got to go to confession, and if I don't do that, and I said, I got it. So your view of God is a commanding God, a demanding God. You got to go, God, and if you don't go, I'm going to stop loving you, God, and if you don't follow me, I'm not going to seek you out, God. That's not the God of the Gospels. That's not the one who will go after the lost sheep. Did you ever see Jesus in the light as you see your friends in the light of playing that video game? That he's always with you, looking over your shoulder? That he wants to mentor you and guide you and help you and coach you and lead you and teach you in his ways that are going to lead you to truth, into happiness, into fulfillment? Yes, with sacrifice, because y'all made a sacrifice. You stayed up all night to get the high score. That was hard. And he looked at me and he said, Father, I've never looked at it that way. I've never looked at my worship on Sunday in that way. Let me put in a little more near to dear to my heart kind of thing. Another, I'm not going to be a long story, right? Spent 5 years as chaplain of Atlanta Braves. They won last night, by the way. Stayed in touch with those coaches. They got a lot on their mind right now. But to text the coaches, even the top coach of all of them, text a lot of them who are in Mass Sundays, and they're going to Mass right now before their 1 o'clock game. Maybe it's a night game, so they don't have Mass. They go to Mass at their parishes. And to be able to get a text to them and saying, hey, I'm praying for you, and they know why I'm praying for you, not that they win, but I'm praying for you so they be disciples. And they write back and they say, thanks, Father. And I said, play your game and continue to be disciples of the Lord. All those coaches, the little prayer hands, amen. They're not making SportsCenter and all that for that. But they're true disciples. There's so many disciples of our Lord around us. And I can't thank all of you enough, because this past year for us, year and a half, has been tough. You had your moments where it's like, you don't have to come. What an obligation. And all of us, in different ways, where we were, even those of you who were online, it wasn't an obligation to watch online. Nobody was checking the block saying, where are you watching? But we had this desire in our heart, this desire in our heart to be discipled. Discipled by who? Disciple me, Lord. To add our Lord into that. To add that third word, most important word, into it. So when our feet hit the ground on our Monday, on our Tuesday, and our Wednesday, as we have this encounter together, we come and worship our God, who created us, who loved us, who wants us to sing, wants us to play our flute, wants us to play the piano, wants us to play guitar, wants us to rejoice. And we come and we permit him to disciple us and fill us with his joy. He wants us to take that out to the world. As servants, as he invited James and John. Imagine, my brothers and sisters in Christ, imagine if each one of us, and I have to work on this too, when our feet hit the ground tomorrow morning, don't worry about Tuesday or Wednesday, but just tomorrow morning, if each one of us make the commitment just for tomorrow morning, when our feet hit the ground, just to say in our hearts, Lord, disciple me, Lord. Disciple me. And that became our spontaneous prayer for our entire day. Imagine what that could do to our hearts, to our families, to our neighborhoods, to our schools, to our places of work. Because the people we're going to encounter this week, they want to be discipled. Their hearts, like ours, are longing to be disciples. May we be those instruments of Jesus Christ who bring him out to the world and lead others to Jesus, so they too, like us, may say and pray, disciple me, Lord.